Thank you, Thomas. All right, we're going to do something here real quick, which is going to be a little different. So, because we've got a video that we're going to show here in just a moment, so I have to switch a couple things over. Isn't technology fun, y'all? I'm also going to take this opportunity before we start playing the video to introduce my good friend Lance here. I'm going to let the video do most of this, and I'm just going to let him speak. But we're trying to figure out the math on it the other day, and we've known each other at least 40 years, I think is what we figured out, right? It's somewhere around third grade, so whatever age you are in third grade, maybe a little bit sooner than that, we have known each other. We grew up together in Jacksonville, went to the same elementary school and high school, graduated together and everything else, and just because of all that doesn't mean we dress alike, but somehow we kind of planned the same, almost same outfit this morning, so we didn't plan this at all. All right, so, you know, and I'm sure you guys will, you'll make him feel welcome, but we got a little introductory video. We're going to show you a little bit about his ministry, so, and then I'll come back up, and then Lance will come up and bring the message for you.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. Up we go.
Every year, thousands of military members find themselves serving time behind the bars of military correctional facilities for crimes committed under military law. Most military inmates are serving prison time in one of six major military correctional facilities: Naval Brig Chesapeake in Virginia, Naval Brig Charleston in South Carolina, Naval Brig Miramar in California, the U.S. Disciplinary Barracks, and Army Regional Corrections Facility, both of which are on Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and the Army Regional Corrections Facility on Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington State. What a travesty to think that those who once fought for the liberty and freedom of others now have no freedom of their own due to sin.
Hello, I'm Marvin McKenzie, pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Puyallup, Washington. It is my great honor to introduce to you today missionary chaplain Lance Hohenstreet. I've had the privilege to serve the Lord alongside he and Sister Hohenstreet as his pastor for the last 16 years now. And I count Brother Hohenstreet as a dear friend. And I want to thank you for your part in sending the Hohenstreets to the incarcerated in the U.S. military prison system. The work that God has done through Brother Lance has been nothing short of amazing. God has opened doors to nearly all of the military prisons in the United States. God has given him a rapport with both the incarcerated as well as the guards at the prisons. God's given Lance the respect of the facility, command, both officers and civilians. Chaplain Hohenstreet's long ministry, for instance, at the Regional Correction Facility here in Tacoma, has led to an unprecedented access to the facility. He practically writes his own pass here when and wherever he desires to go. When the facility closed for demolition and new construction, one of the early actions of the staff was to sign him up, ensuring that he had a place when the RCF reopens after the new construction. But Brother Hohenstreet has a love for these men, a passion to win them to Lord Jesus Christ, and a heart to see them discipled for the Lord. I have the privilege of assisting Brother Hohenstreet now in many, almost 16 of the prison revivals here at the Joint Base Lewis and McChord, and then also helping with one of them at Fort Leavenworth. And I'm just going to tell you, you won't find a man more dedicated to the cause of Christ than Chaplain Missionary Brother Lance Hohenstreet. Thank you once again for having your part in his ministry.
We are Lance and Christine Hohenstreet, your missionaries to the military and military prisons since 2002. I'm a Gulf War U.S. Air Force Security Police veteran who served at Mountain Home Air Force Base, Idaho from 1992 until 1996. I had no idea what God had planned for us, but my experience in the military police and as a Mountain Home police officer early in life laid an essential foundation for what God had planned. My law enforcement background left me with a general disdain for the inmate, as I had been cussed at, assaulted, spit on, among other things. Be sure that I am not a sympathizer, but God began to soften my heart in January of 1999 with a collect call from my brother in a county jail. He was initially facing 7 felonies and up to 70 years in prison. We praise the Lord for his mercy, as my brother was only sentenced to 6 years in an Idaho state prison, only 30 minutes from our home in Mountain Home, Idaho. My brother was paroled after only 2 years, but I knew that my time in prison was only beginning. The Lord continued my ministry preparation as I served as the assistant pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Mountain Home before being commissioned and sent out on our deputation journey to the military prisons. Since early 2004, the Lord has graciously allowed us to serve him behind the walls and fences of the Northwest Joint Regional Correctional Facility. This military prison is located on Joint Base Lewis-McChord, also known as Fort Lewis, in Washington State. From the beginning, God has given us unbelievable favor with the military police staff, military chaplains, and senior command officials. With exception of our early years in ministry, we have been blessed with unrestricted access to the facility and incredible ministry opportunities. For the past several years, I've actually served as the facility lead civilian chaplain under official appointment orders issued by the military police battalion commander.
Hi, I'm Todd Williams. I'm an active duty Army chaplain and the director of pastoral care here at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, at the United States Army Disciplinary Barracks. Known Lance and Christine since 2013, where I was doing a clinical rotation at the prison there at Fort Lewis, Washington. Met Lance as we were going through pre-service training. Didn't know it then, but he and I would spend the next 3.5 years doing ministry together at the prison. It's amazing that the talk was that me and Lance were going to knock heads because we were so different, but what happened was we got to understand each other's kingdom focus for saving souls in the jail, and we became the sons of thunder. Lance was my harvester. I set the standards for the opportunity for him to do the ministry that he does, and it'd be once a week he'd say, "Hey, Todd, three people made a profession of faith last night. Two people made a profession of faith." And then I'll go follow up, and then periodically we'd have a baptism. It was times I would baptize 15 men at one time. Lance and Christine are phenomenal people. Christine was actually my song director, my choir leader, my musician there at the jail. So got to spend a lot of time with them. Love them dearly. Great brother and sister in Christ. And I just can't say enough about them, that Lance Hohenstreet is kingdom focused, a man after God's own heart, and has a passion for winning the lost.
I have spent thousands of hours visiting countless new military inmates in the facility reception block since 2004. So many young service members, each facing seemingly insurmountable consequences, have been funneled through the prison in the past 16 years. I strive to make contact with each one. Some trusted Christ, others heard the gospel for the first time, and many relationships were forged for future ministry opportunities. God allowed us to impact the lives of countless young service members, all thanks to you.
Yeah, how are you doing? God bless you. Keep supporting Pastor Lance. I'm a direct result of your ministry. I appreciate you and thank you so much.
I just want to say, please continue to support Chaplain Lance in everything that he's doing. He's doing amazing work. He's doing God's work. I can personally say that I called myself a Christian for a long time, and it wasn't until I met him that I decided to get baptized, and that's a true statement. And it's because of how deeply he touched my heart and what it meant for him to explain what the Bible meant to me and really understand it. So please keep supporting him and what he's doing.
God bless you all. Thank you for supporting Pastor Lance's mission work. I know I'm a direct recipient of it, and the blessings I can count today is because of the time he put into me then. So thanks for all the help you've given him.
Over the years, our weekly Bible study and chapel service schedule in the prison has varied somewhat, but in an average week, we would hold two chapel services, two Bible studies, and two discipleship classes. Some of the discipleship classes included series on basic Bible doctrines, spiritual growth, marriage and family, character, dealing with emotions, just to name a few. My wife Christine has played the piano and assisted with the chapel music program for years. Occasionally, she has helped in the Bible studies and classes, especially when the facility has female inmates. The average age of incarcerated military service members is only 21, so many of the men call her the chapel mom. I praise the Lord for a wife who shares my burden for these young soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen. Our sustained work at the Fort Lewis prison gave us great credibility and rapport with other military officials, which led to revivals in all of the major military correctional facilities and rigs. Due to the limited locations and assignments of military police personnel, my wife and I have been able to build a good relationship with many of the guards over the years. Much of the military police guard force has been assigned, relocated, and reassigned in the facilities we reach, so we have watched the career progression of many of today's senior soldiers. We have been blessed with opportunities to speak for military police Bible studies, prayer breakfasts, chaplains classes, as well as other functions and military formations at Fort Lewis. The Army had been planning to build a new prison on Fort Lewis for well over a decade, but construction had never been approved or funded until late 2019. Initial plans consisted of uninterrupted prison operations while the new prison was being built adjacent to the old facility, but last fall the Army deemed the old plan cost prohibitive. As of March 2020, my prison, the U.S. Army Northwest Joint Regional Correction Facility, has been shut down and completely demolished. Construction is underway, with the new prison scheduled to be completed in early 2022. We plan to resettle near Fort Lewis at the beginning of 2022, where we will rejoin the military police force for recertification and force readiness training. My wife and I will reach 20 years on the mission field about the same time we plan to reestablish the work at the new prison. It has been an honor to serve as your missionary to the military and military prisons. Thank the Lord for many saved souls and changed lives, all fruit to your account.
I'm going to switch it back over here in just a second, so bear with me on that. I wish I could say something flowery and fun and, you know, whatever, but as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I mean, oftentimes when we think of missionaries, we think of those going overseas and everything else like that, and, you know, I'm so blessed to know Lance as a friend, but also as a chaplain to the military, and the fact that his mission field just happens to be one that contains bars and people behind those in prison, and that's this physical life, but his ministry is setting free those that are in a deeper, darker prison than what they have in this life. It's that spiritual prison. So I'm going to bring Lance on up now and let him speak, and God just be with us throughout the service. Holy Spirit, just speak to us today, Jesus. Your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Well, it's a blessing to be here at Hague Baptist Church. Thank you so much for enduring the video. Hopefully it taught you a little bit. I don't know how many of you even knew that there were military prisons, but we've been doing that. It's over 19 years now, and we've sold our home because they bulldozed the prison. And we sold our home, we moved into a trailer, and we're traveling the country reporting to the churches that support us, as well as to some that don't, and seeing some old friends. But God's done amazing work, and we just I'm just honored to be here. It's great to know Pastor Bailey. I've known him for many, many years. Someone asked me, are all the bad stories true? And I just said, well, thank God for his grace. Amen. That's all I'm going to say. And both of us, as we all, have a past, and thank the Lord it's under the blood of Jesus. Amen. If you're born again this morning, thank God for that. So praise the Lord for you all that are here and those that are watching online. And it's just a real honor to be here. If you do have any questions about the military prison work, those that are here, please let me know. If you're online, send them to the pastor and he can forward them to me. I'd be glad to answer them. Also on the display for those that are here, I do have some cards. Please take one. I think I gave just about everybody one. If I missed you, make sure and get a card. I really want your prayers. Pray for my wife especially because she has to deal with me. She has to live with me, so pray for her. I do have two daughters. They're both grown and out of the house. One is engaged to me, married. The other one's married. Gave us our first grandson not quite 2 years ago. And it's a blessing to be a brand new grandpa. And those who have grandchildren understand what I'm talking about. So we praise the Lord for that. God is good. But anyway, please check out the display as well if you haven't. I did used to be, obviously, civilian police officer as well as military police in the first Gulf War. So I've got some badges, I've got my old handcuffs, and I've got some razor wire from the prison there at Fort Lewis, as well as a rubber coffee cup. I already showed some people that, and some prison keys and things. But anyway, take a time and just take a look at that stuff. But Lord willing, we can be a blessing and a help to you. But anyway, it's an honor to be here. Let's get into God's Word this morning, and I'll try to be a help and a blessing to you all. And I don't know, actually I've heard Pastor Bailey preach several times, and I'm not Pastor Bailey. If you think I'm too intense or too passionate, just remember normally I'm in prison, so maybe you'll give me a little grace this morning. You say, well, Brother Lance, we're not prisoners. Well, Paul said I'm a prisoner of Christ, so you know we ought to be prisoners of Christ, so you know, let's keep our perspective biblical this morning, amen? So if you give me grace, I'll do my best to give you grace. I'm aware of the time. I'll try to be good. I sometimes I get excited and forget what time it is, but I know that there's pot roasts at home and all kind of stuff. So I'll try to be good this morning. Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles if we could this morning. Turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. My favorite kind of passage to preach is expository message. I don't really have a lot of time to, so I'm going to kind of skip through some of this passage, but we all know this story. There's actually several stories here, and I'm not going to focus on probably what you normally would focus on, but hopefully I'll bring out something that will be a help to you. Mark chapter 6, I'm reading from the King James. I know I don't know what you all use, but so if I'm reading something different, that's what I'm using this morning. But Mark chapter 6, starting in verse number 30, and the Bible says this, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Before we go any further, let's ask the Lord for his help this morning. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, I do thank you for my dear friend and brother, Pastor Bailey. I pray you bless him, bless his family. Lord, bless this church. Bless those that are watching online this morning. I pray that you will help them. Lord, help us, encourage us. Lord, we need your help. At the same time, Lord, I pray that you'd convict us. Lord, as I read this passage in preparation, Lord, I was convicted by, Lord, just your word. Sometimes we get complacent. We get, Lord, just hardened. We get calloused in this life. Lord, I pray that we would be sensitive to your leading and, Lord, to your guidance in our life. We love you. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Well, this text, you know, one of the main things people ask me as a missionary or a chaplain to the military prison specifically, is how in the world did you, you know, wind up in prison? Why would you want to go reach those guys? And, you know, I understand what they mean. And, you know, my background in law enforcement, I had that mentality as well sometimes. Those guys, you know, the bad guys, you know, not us. You know, we're good guys, right? You know, they're bad guys, those guys. But, you know, that is such a skewed perspective. I remember I was at Fort Leavenworth one time. I was at the death row unit, DSI is what they call it, at Fort Leavenworth. And one of the guards whom I knew said, "Hey, Chaplain Lance," he says, "you know what that guy did?" And if I told you his name, you could look him up online. It's a pretty prominent case. But I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm very well aware of what he did." And he says, "You know, that guy deserves to burn in hell." And I looked at that guard, they call him Cadre. I said, yes, he does. I said, but so do we. He stopped and looked at me. He says, don't group me with him. I said, I didn't. I said, but the reality is, we have this graduated scale of sin. But God said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's up here, we're not. God is God, and we are not. And so the bottom line is this, if we're not dead and in hell and an eternal death this morning, then we're in God's grace. Sometimes, but in our mind, we have this, we break it up and we compartmentalize sin and we say those guys are the bad guys and we're the good guys. And we start, sometimes it skews our perspective. And I don't want to maybe make anyone feel bad, but if you're honest with yourself, how many times have we been out in society or out doing what we do and we look down upon somebody, maybe not even deliberately, and I'm not saying that you're mean or that it's an intentional thing, but you know, we maybe look with disgust, or we look with, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. Oh wow, can you imagine living like that? Or we have those perspectives sometimes if we're honest with ourselves. And you know, that's not how the Lord, you know, here's the thing. I remember talking to a guy one time in the prison, had done something really terrible. I'm not going to talk about it online, but I remember sitting there, and I'm just going to be transparent with you. I try to be that way anyway. I'm just a guy. But, you know, I'm in the ministry, and they call me chaplain. I've been preaching for a long time, and, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, and this guy tells me what he did, and my stomach literally turned. You remember, I've got two daughters. I understand, and there are some heinous crimes out there. And my stomach literally got a knot in it. And I quite frankly, I felt like Jonah. Because I'm like, Lord, if I give him the gospel, I know he'll get saved. I know you'll deal with him. I know that you can. And quite frankly, I mean, he has to be a cop. I probably shouldn't say this, especially being recorded online. But, you know, there's a time where I just, you know, I had an HK-40s where I carried as my duty weapon. I'm like, you know, I've got a shell that would take care of this problem. Come on now, I'm just trying to be real. I mean, sometimes we have, well, you know, I've got a bullet that could take care of that problem. And sometimes we have that mentality, hopefully you don't actually do that, but sometimes we have those thoughts. And the Holy Spirit of God, I'm telling you what, I don't know if he was under conviction or not, but I was. Because the Lord just kind of moved in there in the cell, and I'm not trying to get weird on you, but the Lord just kind of moved in there with me and said, I died for him. Who do you think you are? I had to go home. Lord, I can't help this guy. I don't even know. Why am I in the prison ministry? I know he's a veteran, and I know he served our country, and I know he actually had a Purple Heart. This guy had bled for our country. But quite frankly, I just didn't care. I had become hard. I'd become calloused, even doing what I do. Like Jonah, Lord, I knew that you'd forgive them. And sometimes we just, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we get that way. Maybe you see someone that's living wrong or living a wild life or a hard life or something, and we kind of dismiss people, don't we? That's where I was. Well, back to our text. I want to kind of tie this in. Hopefully I help you a little bit this morning. And I believe God's word is a mirror, and it shows us a true picture of what we are underneath all the makeup. Now, I don't wear makeup. But spiritually and emotionally, sometimes we do. We try to paint ourselves a pretty picture. Come on, and we want to look, don't you want to look good for people? And we want to look better than what we are. And we just need the Holy Word of God to show us what we really are and to convict us and help us. And as someone who was raised in church, I got saved at a relatively young age. But, you know, we were steeped in religion. Maybe we've been members of the church, you know, for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and we just things don't bother us anymore. And I believe there's a lot of warnings in God's word. So I'm going to try to give you a couple things that will help you this morning. Let's get some context. So the Bible says here, just above where we started reading in Mark chapter 6, in verse number 27, and I'm not going to read this text, but it talks about John the Baptist had just been executed. John the Baptist was their brother. These are the apostles. These are the men that we as, you know, as church members look at and say, wow, these guys are men that walked with Jesus and followed Jesus. These are the most spiritual guys we know. They had just lost their brother John. Now, I've had loss in my family. I know many of you have had loss. Probably everyone has had loss in their family. They were grieving. They were hurting. And obviously, they were being what we would call good Christians. They were busy doing for the Lord. Look what they said to Jesus again in verse 30. the apostles gathered themselves unto Jesus. Well, first of all, they get a gold star. Amen. Don't you think we ought to gather ourselves to the Lord? Well, that's what we're doing this morning, whether it's online or here in the church. Praise the Lord, you're here. I mean, and we might be messed up. In fact, if we're honest, we all are messed up. But we're gathered to the Lord, and they gathered themselves to Jesus, so praise the Lord for that. But look at their attitude. They told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. How many times do we come to church and, well, you know, I've been teaching for this long, and I've been preaching, even this morning, you heard the presentation, well, you know, I've been in the prisons almost 20 years, and we do those things, and we're like, man, I'm serving God, and I'm doing something, and I'm a good Christian. Now, I'm not against that. In fact, I think you ought to be doing something. I'd say if the apostles weren't serving God, that they would probably have a problem. But that's all they were focused on. They went to Jesus in a time of grief. They had just buried their brother, John the Baptist, and they come to Jesus, and they're, hey, Lord, we've been doing this, and we've been doing that, and we've been teaching this, and we've been teaching that. And look at the Lord's response. Aren't you grateful for grace? Come ye yourselves into a desert place and rest a while. I'm just grateful the Lord says, you know, come here. Y'all been working real hard. Why don't y'all just take a load off? Aren't you glad, you know, Matthew 11, 28 and 29 tells us, come unto the Lord, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. I'm glad that if you're doing something, God can. But our perspective's not always right. And this does not mean, just because we're serving God doesn't mean our attitude's right. The number one reason I get from guys that don't want to come to chapel, and maybe even you get that here in Gainesville, is you go out and maybe you invite someone to church or you hand somebody a gospel tract. I'm guessing you have things from your church you can give people. Maybe you have heard this before. Oh, yeah, I've tried the church thing. I've tried the Jesus thing. Or, well, yeah, but there's too many hypocrites. Y'all ever heard that? Oh, yeah, there's too many of those people. I'm not going to do that stuff. Well, here's the reality. Did you know? Here they are right here. You say, well, Brother Lance, you're talking bad about the apostles. No. I actually love teaching about the apostles because the scripture makes it so clear that they were the humanity of man. They were men. They were human beings just like you and I. And so they were the same way. And I'm not going to read all this text, but I want you to skip down to verse number 34. So here's Jesus. He had just dealt with his disciples. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. That's after he told the disciples to rest. He saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Even when I'm tired, even when I'm not in prison, even when you're not reaching somebody, even when Pastor Bailey's not preaching, did you know the Lord doesn't stop? Thank God for his grace. He's always reaching someone even when we're sitting down resting a while. And then it says this in verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, so you see Jesus' response. Now I want you to see the disciples' response. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about into the villages, for they buy them and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. This is what the apostles did. They came to Jesus and said, hey, it's getting late, Lord. Why don't you send them away so they can go take care of their own needs? Now, I don't know if you've ever had that attitude or not. I have. Lord, that guy just needs to get things squared away. Maybe you've looked at someone before and you knew they had need, but you're like, that guy just needs to get himself squared away. Once he takes care of what he needs to, then we'll talk to him. Or maybe you've been working all day or you've been serving the Lord for a long time and you get tired and you say, well, I'm going to take care of myself and I'll deal with that later. But that's not what the Lord does. The Lord was moved with compassion when he saw them. And then we see right after that in verse number 37, a very, very common passage. I'm not going to read this entire text, but he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. In other words, no, you are going to feed them. Well, wait a minute, Lord, I already told you it's getting late. And I already told you I'm hungry. Lord, let them take care of themselves. And maybe we're coming to church this morning. Well, I've been a member of Hague Baptist Church for many years. And, you know, I'm serving God and I'm doing that thing. Now it's my turn time. When the Lord says, no, you are going to go out and feed them. Your pastor and I were talking about this yesterday. It's not the pastor's job. It's partially his job. It's not the missionary's job, although it's partially my job. It is our job. It's the church. It's the body's job to serve Christ. It's the body that reaches the world. Every one of us have responsibilities out there, and sometimes we just say, well, I'm tired, or I don't feel like it, it's getting late. Besides, have you watched the news? Look at the condition of our country and society. I can't reach anybody. They're beyond hope. Let them take care of themselves, Lord. But the Lord, I just believe this, the application would be this. The Lord tells us the same thing as he told the apostles in verse 37, give ye them to eat. It's our job to reach someone. You say, Brother Lance, I can't reach lots of people. But you can reach somebody. Did you know, look up here this morning. Every one of you, those that are watching, every one of us have an influence in someone's life that I will never meet. Every one of you know somebody or reach somebody. I heard one of the teens say in class this morning, I worry about my friends and I'm thinking of my friends. Every one of us have impact and reach a life that your pastor will probably never reach. And while you might not be a preacher and you might not have a lot of scripture memorized and you might not even know what to show them, I guarantee you that if you went to Pastor Bailey and said, hey, do you have, you know, some Bible verses, do you have a gospel tract that I can take them? I want to help my friend. Did you know you could be an influence in their life? And the reason we don't is, quite frankly, sometimes we just get tired, we get calloused, we get relaxed. Well, I'm at church, I punched the clock, I checked in, I'm at church, I'm a good Christian. Boy, it sounds a lot like the apostles when they went to Jesus. Hey, look, Lord, look what we've done. He says, well, that's good. Take a rest a while. There's a time for that. But now I want you to go and feed these people. It's our job, collectively. It's not just the missionary. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the evangelist. It's our job. And we know the story of the five loaves and the two fishes. And I'm not going to go through and read this entire text. If you're not familiar, I think you should read it. But, you know, he takes and they say, well, what do you have? And there's five loaves and there's two fishes. And we know how the Lord broke that and fed over 5,000 men and their families. And then they took up the fragments and they had 12 baskets. We know the story. You say, man, I want you to, for just a second, I want you to stop thinking about the Bible story. And I want you to think about the reality of that. Now, how many of y'all have dinner on the grounds here once in a while? Potlucks? Can you imagine having, you know, coming in, bringing a couple of, you know, you've got a couple of loaves of bread and you got a couple of crock pots and you get done, everybody ate, everybody's full, and you go back there and there's like 100 times more than you started with. I'd be like, wait a minute. Hey, preacher, didn't we just eat all this? Where'd all this come from? You would think, I mean, if you and I were there, how many of you would like to be there for this, to see this miracle happen? As they're collecting up and they have 12 baskets and they're all looking, they're like, oh my goodness, look at all this. But you know, the Bible says that the apostles, it didn't even faze them. They were, look up here. They were so used to seeing God do what God does. They were so used to watching Jesus work miracles and reach people that watching and seeing this miracle in front of them didn't faze them. You say, Brother Lance, where does it say that in Scripture? Well, bear with me, I'll show you. If you go on a little bit further, after this miracle was done and they had those 12 baskets, the Bible says in verse 45, Mark chapter 6, verse 45, and I know my homiletics are terrible. I'm not even following my outline this morning. I'm just trying to get through that. I want you to get the message this morning. Verse 45, it says this, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before into Bethsaida, and he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was, even evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking on the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, how many of y'all have read that before? Probably most of us. Most of us would say, well, I'm in the ship he told me to. And he told us where to go. And he told us as a church where we're supposed to go. But I want you to notice something. They were still, you know, we get drowned in our own self-efforts. We forget what the Bible says in John chapter 15. It says we can do nothing of ourselves. But here's the reality. We've become such good Baptists that we think we've got it handled. And we become self-reliant rather than Holy Spirit reliant. And we find ourselves in a ship going the direction we're supposed to, but we're toiling. And we are troubled. I wonder why. In fact, this is what blows my mind, Pastor. I don't know what you think about this, but in verse number 50, it says this, "For they all saw him and were troubled." They were troubled when they saw Jesus. I wonder what would happen this morning if we actually saw the Lord show up in an amazing way. Would it bother us? Because we're so used to ordinary. And if God really showed up, if it would scare us a little? Did you know when we become hard and calloused and we're just going through things on rote memory, did you know that toiling's always there? Trouble is always there. Trepidation, fear. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. Fear and worry, it's always there. But listen, brothers and sisters, if we would trust Christ and we would focus back on him, listen to what Jesus said. By the way, if you hadn't figured out the winds are contrary today in the United States, come on now. There are definitely some waves crashing, and we definitely have seen the boat rocking. We're in the same boat. But listen to what Jesus says. And by the way, I just believe this, that the Word of God applies as much today. It is relevant, as relevant today as it ever was. And the Lord says to us, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." I have a whole other message I preach called "The Eye of the Storm." Y'all had a hurricane not too long ago. You know, that eye of the storm comes over, you know, and there's that quiet, that lull, the sun for just a little while. I think about the eye of the storm. I understand it's a little different context, but you know, the Lord is our eye in the middle of this storm that we're in. And the reason we don't even recognize it is because we're so guilty of relying on self. Well, I'll let the pastor do it. I'll let the deacons do it. I'll let the elders do it. I'll just kind of cruise through and do what we've always done, and we find ourselves tired, and we find ourselves not caring about the ones that the Lord was moved and cared about. He said, "Brother Lance, I think that might be supposition on your part. Well, I'll finish. I'm done this morning. In fact, I can't say this morning anymore because it's right about noon. But I'm done. Verse 51, it says this. "And he went up to them in the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered." When's the last time you saw God show up in such a way that happened to you? I think it's been too long for most of us. But look what he said. Here's why. Verse number 50. This is the Word of God. This is not Brother Lance giving you something what I think. Verse 52. "For they," the apostles, "considered not the miracle of the loaves." But then I want you to look at why. "For their heart was hardened." As a chaplain to the military prisons, I have a lot of people say, "Brother Lance, how many hardened criminals have you met?" And my answer has now become here the last few years, well, not as many as hardened Christians as I have met. There are a lot of people, and I'm not saying they're not good people. I'm not talking about the apostles, but the reality is, most of us have been doing what we do for so long, we are not even fazed by the work of God anymore. I'm not talking bad. I mean, the Lord said that about his own apostles. We know he loved them. We know they're in heaven. Praise the Lord if you're saved and born again this morning. But I wonder how many of us, well, it didn't even bother me. I'm not even moved by that. It didn't bother me anymore. To me, every time I watch my own video, I think about those men that have served my country. I went downrange. I've seen men fall. And to see those men, their lives a wreck and destroyed, I watched sin wreak havoc. And for us not to be moved, and I'm not pleading for your support. I mean, if you want to support our ministry, that'd be wonderful. But we ought to be moved by the work of God and the need that's in this world out here, whether it's foreign missions or right here in Gainesville or anywhere else. And I'm just asking you this morning, if you're not saved, maybe you need to trust Christ. But maybe you've been saved a long time. And we've just become hard like these guys. They're the apostles. If they can be hard, we certainly can be. Would you ask the Lord that this morning and Just consider that in your heart. Thank the Lord for his word and the conviction that it brings. I understand. You say, Brother Lance, you're supposed to encourage us and be uplifting. Well, I'm trying to. Maybe the reason we're discouraged is because we don't have our eyes on the Lord. Thank the Lord for his grace and mercy. Let's all close in prayer, and then we'll have our brother come and lead us in a song this afternoon. Lord, thank you for this day. I thank you for the great mercy and grace that you show us. Lord, thank you for your compassion. Lord, for your watch care, your love for us. Lord, we're thankful that you care about ones that we even fail to care about. Lord, I don't believe it's malicious or, Lord, maybe even not even intentional with most of us. But, Lord, there are so many we pass by every day that are in such desperate need of you. Help us to be moved with compassion as you are. Help us to look out and reach as we can. Lord, help us to look out for outreach and, Lord, to invite people and to encourage people, Lord, especially in these days and these times. Lord, again, just bless this church, bless this pastor. We thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Brother, you come.